Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante. He is Dustin Schutte. And a word of warning to you, our listeners. Dustin and I are both in a salty mood today, are we not, Dustin?
We are in a salty mood. I think it's mostly, Jim, because because you told me, I think we talked about this maybe 2 weeks ago, that Juan Soto signed that $10 billion contract to sign with the Mets. That's not really why I'm upset, but I had to bring it up. Because people that don't know, Jim told me that the GM of the Mets is not interested in long-term contracts, and so then Juan Soto gets, of course, 15 years, and I'm sure he's just going to be a nuisance to the Braves for the remainder of time.
I think that will be the case, but today you're even saltier because you've been dealing with a ticketing agency.
Yep. I don't know. Am I allowed to say their name?
I don't care. Go ahead.
Yeah. Just be cautious if you're going to use Ticketmaster, friends. Just be cautious. Been screwed over, bought two tickets to the NCAA tournament, Final Four for volleyball 2 months ago, was told 3 days before the Final Four starts they were fraudulent, so now I'm left scrambling. So just be cautious when you use Ticketmaster. I don't know where else you even go to get tickets anymore. It's like they got a monopoly on it, so I don't know how it's legal. But yeah, that's this is why I'm salty today, Jim.
All right. Well, that's a valid reason. Now, I need you to let me know if my reason for being salty is valid also. Dustin, you take care of the entire Big Ten. You write about it. Here in these parts, this week, the big story, big discussion is our backup quarterback, Bo Prabhula, who actually is part of the game plan every week. So he's not like this. He carries the clipboard on the sideline, and that's about it. Has decided to enter the portal. He will not be available for the Penn State playoff run. And that's not what's making me salty, because he has every right to do that. I understand why he's done it. And even in the press conference, James Franklin responding to the question about it, he understands it. He knows. And just for our listeners and you to catch up on it, James Franklin talked about, look, the kid, he did want to stick around. However, he's still going to class. He still has to try to prepare for each game. He also is in the middle of needing to visit other schools and essentially try to work out where he's going to move on to, and just wouldn't be able to juggle all those balls at once. So we're left with a situation, and in conjunction with this, Drew Aller has announced he is returning next year. I'm confident those two news bits are related. Sure. And because of circumstances, it's almost like in a no-win position for Bo Prabhula there, Dustin.
Yeah, I can totally understand why people would be salty over this. I don't think that's crazy at all. One of the things, and I understand from the NCAA perspective, that these kids have to have the option to transfer now to be able to be at their school for the next semester. But man, this whole thing has just been such poor planning. And the thing that really is kind of a bummer. Now, Bo Prabhula made his decision. I hope he doesn't regret it, Jim, because I think sometimes student athletes, when you're 18, 19, 20 years old, can't look past the end of their nose. And as you mentioned, he's been part of a lot of game plans. He's been utilized not just when Penn State's up by 42 points at the end of a game. He's being utilized in the middle of games in key situations, and he may not be able to be a part, and he probably won't be a part of a potentially a strong run for Penn State. So this isn't good for the fans. It's not good for the school. It's not good for Bo Prabhula. I don't know what the solution is, because I don't know if extending the portal window really helps in this scenario, because again, it's all about getting there for the second semester.
Well, that's exactly. And actually, the teams that are in the playoffs, the portal opening window stays open for them. So he could stick around for the playoff games, then enter the portal. But by then, most of the job opportunities are gone. And I appreciate you. Well, a couple things I appreciate what you said. Number one is not knowing what they could do about it. And this is really the thing that makes me most salty today, Dustin. I've read so much, not so much from the local media, but from national media, up in arms. This is the worst thing. The big, bad NCAA. Oh, my God. They're terrible. They're awful. What's really interesting to me, though, Dustin, in each one of those articles that I read, do you know how many of them have a solution?
I'm going to guess none. None.
Well, in fairness, I read one article, one, and I've been reading them all, that offered a suggestion. Now, it was a dumb suggestion, but it was a suggestion. I shouldn't put it that way. What their suggestion was is just eliminate this winter window.
Okay.
And yeah, only allow the portal window to be open in the spring, after spring practice, the one that's sure, already there. And that would put everyone on an equal footing. I think, though, the problem with it is if I'm a player now, Bo Prabula or whoever it is, let's say a player from Purdue who knows he's not going to be coming back, and Purdue's going through a coaching change, or let's use Marshall as an example.
Yeah.
Coaching change, there are 30 players that don't want to be there at Marshall. So those 30 players, are they going to show up for spring practice? The new coach at Marshall, he's down 30 players come spring practice. What's he supposed to do? So I give this writer credit for at least suggesting something. However, I don't think it's practical. So what's making me salty is nobody seems to have a good solution. I don't have any ideas myself, to be honest with you. So all of this anger and outrage everybody else has, I'm outraged at them for being outraged.
Yeah, I mean, I think – I don't know if there is a good solution. Because the only way you could kind of curb that, and now I don't know that it's legal anymore, is that they've lost the ability to implement a one-year sit-out rule. And I did hear another suggestion. Now, this was not a writer, I don't think. This may have just been on the interwebs. But the point basically was, okay, you have basically one of two options. Now, if you're a graduate transfer, you can transfer immediately. Or if your coach leaves, you can transfer immediately. But basically, you would give the student athletes one of two options. One, you can transfer. You can retain all of your eligibility, but you are not available for that next season. So if I'm a player who played in 2024 and I'm a freshman, I'll still have all 3 years of eligibility remaining, but I cannot play during the 2025 season. So then I would play 26, 27, 28 and still get all 4 years. Or if I'm a player in 2024, I don't want to have to sit out. I think I've got an NFL future. I transfer out of Purdue and I want to go to Penn State. I'm eligible for 2025, 2026, but that's it. You surrender 1 year of your eligibility because you're using that immediately. I don't know that that solves the problem or the situation that Bo Prabula is in, but I do think it maybe curbs some of these mass transfers that we see. And I'm not talking about like Purdue, obviously, in a unique situation with the coaching change. Marshall's in a unique situation with the coaching change. But if you're just leaving a program just for playing time, maybe that's how you curb this. I don't know that that's a logical solution, but it is. It's another one of those things, Jim. Like, at least there's some attempt to come up with a resolution as opposed to just complaining about the NCAA.
Yeah, I'm trying to think that through. I'm not sure. You know, the fact is, at that point, you're still punishing the players, and somehow by taking away a year of eligibility, and for some, it wouldn't matter because after 3 years, they would move on to the NFL anyway, which is actually a minority. So I'm not sure what the answer is. You know, how do you make it, because you're conflicting with the school year, and yes, there are still athletes who want to go to school, and, you know, if you say, hey, Bo Prabula, you could potentially have to wait till January 20th. I think that's when the national championship game is, yeah, somewhere around there. He might be 2 weeks into, you know, a semester. And even the thought of, well, okay, he starts late, but he's already declared he's going to school XYZ, and he could be there for spring practice. The problem with that is, and James Franklin brought this up, was the idea, how is Bo Prabula supposed to shop right now for that new right. job? And that's, and I had, you know, some folks reaching out to me, and we were talking about this, chatting about it. And, you know, I gave the example, Penn Staters have a connection to Duke in that Manny Diaz is now the head coach. Mm-hmm. You know, there's always going to be that kind of connection. Boy, and Duke lost their quarterback. Wouldn't that be a nice fit? Well, guess what? Duke has already gone out and gotten their portal quarterback.
Right.
So this waiting around for Bo Prabula isn't necessarily going to happen.
Right. Do you know what I think is actually going to curb this? And this has been something that has been talked about now for maybe a full year, is at some point, and I don't know whether this is going to be in a year or 10 years, there's going to be contracts that student athletes are going to sign to be at a school for 3 to 4 years. And if you want out, you're going to have to pay it back. It's going to be a void contract. And I think that that's ultimately, now again, how does that stop the current situation? I don't know, because you're still going to have probably sophomores, maybe juniors or seniors that are going to transfer. But I think that if it's not happening at the rate that it is now, I think people have less of a problem with it, whether that's, you know, good, bad, or indifferent.
Dustin, I actually think that might be the best route to take. And I have some thoughts on it and some ideas. I'm going to present those to you when we get back, right after this message. With the postseason now coming into focus, excitement is building for a Nittany Lion appearance in the college football playoffs. Now's the time to start thinking of how to make your travel arrangements should the team advance to the playoffs to be held at 4 major bowl destinations over the New Year's holiday: LA, Phoenix, New Orleans, and Atlanta. Get in on all the playoff action with an all-inclusive bowl game travel package brought to you by State College-based Collegiate Athletic Travel, a national leader in sports fan travel for over 50 years. CAT's air-inclusive packages feature round-trip charter, air transportation from select Pennsylvania cities, deluxe hotel accommodations, airport and game transfers, pre-game meal and entertainment events, as well as game tickets, all under the supervision of CAT's seasoned event staff. Traveling on your own can still get in on the playoff action by selecting a land-only package that includes all features exclusive of air travel. Visit athletictravel.com in the coming days for complete details.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Sports Illustrated Big Ten writer Dustin Schutte. Dustin, we are going to eventually get to those playoff football games. Here in Pennsylvania, we've got the Nittany Lions, who play SMU at home. But after that, they will probably hit the road. They got to win. That's why I say probably. And if you would like to travel with the Nittany Lions, you need to check out Collegiate Athletic Travel. They are a state college-based company. They've been doing this for 50 years, handling trips to bowl games, big games. I traveled with them last year when Penn State traveled down to Auburn. What a great experience that was. Still trying to get all the details, figuring out. Penn State's got to win against SMU. But if you want to keep up to date on everything going on, go to athletictravel.com. They will keep adding more and more details of their plans for the Penn State road trips. Or if you want to call, go to 814-238-4987. And you could talk directly to the folks over there to find out what the plans are. All right, Dustin, we've been talking about this transfer portal, of course, at Penn State. Backup quarterback Bo Prabula has declared for the transfer portal. Drew Aller then subsequently has stated he is coming back for next year. And, Dustin, my complaint was everyone was complaining, but nobody was coming up with any ideas. You brought up, I think, the one path that they could do, which is contracts, obligate the players. And I'm thinking it's just a question of number of years. I don't think you should lock them in forever. And maybe it's like the pay scale we talk about, you know, the $20 million that's going to go to the athletes. Maybe there's, you could leave, but there's a buyout to these contracts, something to that effect. And maybe you're obligated for 2 or 3 years. And I bring that obligation part to 2 to 3 years up because 3 years, Penn State and James Franklin, they have the players kind of on a 3-year plan. If you're a great player, 3 years, you're off to the NFL. If you haven't broken through yet into the rotation after 3 years, you've probably been passed by younger players anyway. If you still want playing time, it may be time to move on anyway. And then to get into specifics, Bo Prabula, he's been at Penn State for 3 years, Dustin. He redshirted his first year and willingly acted as the backup for the last 2 years. I think he did his time. He owes no one anything.
No, I would agree with that. And what I might suggest, I do think what you would probably have to do, now there's going to be some attorneys and people who get involved in this, I would make the buyouts stiff. But I would also, I think, Jim, maybe provide a bonus, a retention bonus. So if I'm at Penn State as a freshman, maybe I sign that contract. And I don't know the specifics, so we're just going to operate on the bare bones here that I'm capable of understanding. If I sign a contract that says Penn State's going to pay me $25,000 as a freshman, no matter what, that doesn't count any, you know, extra NIL or whatever, and I – you know what? Year two, much like a coaching contract, I'm going to get an additional $10,000. So now I've got $25,000 my freshman year, $35,000 if I stay at Penn State. Now, if I leave, maybe I owe $15,000. So I better make sure that the next place I want to go recruiting me is going to, it's going to be a more lucrative offer. And so I think that's how you curb it. And I agree with you. I think 3 years is probably the right number because I don't think you should hold these kids hostage. Maybe they decide that this isn't the right spot. Maybe they decide, you know what? I just want to play. Let me go to Akron and finish out my career so I can get some playing time. Not to throw Akron under the bus, but they're pretty terrible usually. So. But I think that's the case because as you mentioned, you're going to have some guys that'll go there 3 years, then they're off to the NFL. You're going to have some guys that 3 years, maybe it's best that they move on. Maybe it's after 2 or 3 years, they decide they're going to quit, or maybe, you know, they redshirt and then they really thrive as juniors and seniors and they're going to stay there anyway. But I would incorporate a buyout and then some sort of retention bonus where it's lucrative for them to come back and not necessarily, and you enter the transfer portal, you don't get that bonus. So you can't shop around and decide, oh, okay, you know, now I don't know how you stop the tampering. So that's going to be, but other than that, you can't enter the transfer portal with the uncertainty. It's got to be, you know what? You're not even going to look. You're going to be at Penn State these 3 years, and then year 125, year 235, and then year three, we're going to pay you $50,000 if you're still on our roster.
Yeah, I think that's at least the basis, the foundation for a fix for this. And I'm not sure there's anything wrong with a multi-year contract where you're obligated. Mm-hmm. And it happens in the corporate world. You know, there's a penalty for leaving early. Now, I think that just like in the corporate world, if you're on a 5-year contract and after 2 years, mutually you get together and say, hey, look, coach, I'm not playing. I'm never going to play here at this Big Ten school. You know, I'm not benefiting you at all because, again, I'm not playing. could you release me from my contract? I'd like to play for Toledo.
Yeah.
Or play, go to a school where I could get on the field. So there are some of those things. And I think what is lost here, again, circling back to the Bo Prabula thing, which has really caused a national storm and people talking about it, is that I don't think James Franklin is upset with him. I don't think the players are upset with him. In fact, the fact that he has stuck around 3 years as a backup quarterback makes him unique. And he was just put into the corner. And I don't think James Franklin is blowing smoke here when he talks, when he says, believe me, the kid wanted to stick around, but it just didn't make sense. And James Franklin also has essentially in place a, hey, if you want to enter the portal, it's time to go. Again, using the corporate world, I give my 2 week notice. Most likely they're just going to show me the door and probably escort me out. Okay.
Right.
So I think that now, but James Franklin could conceded this is a little bit of a unique situation, but it's just circumstances put everybody in this unique position.
Right. I think what else would be interesting is, do you know what you also have to sign in a business contract a lot of times?
Non-compete.
Correct. And so it makes me wonder if you would have a non-compete with, okay, you can transfer anywhere except for a team that's on our schedule or except for the Big Ten or whatever the case might be. Because I could, if you get contract, there's going to be some nitty-gritty stuff that I don't think people are thinking about. And I think that that's a way to incorporate that back, because if you play at Penn State for 2 years, I mean, we have an example here, right? Like, I don't think Ohio State liked that Julian Fleming transferred back to Penn State, right? Like, I just don't think when you have a team on the schedule. Now, if Penn State, who didn't they play this year? They didn't play
Indiana.
So maybe they don't, maybe James Franklin says you can go to Indiana. The only time we'd play you is in the Big Ten championship. You go play at Indiana. That's fine. So maybe it's just a schedule, but I could see them incorporating that into this too. There's a lot of really interesting intricacies that I could see people incorporating into these contracts.
Well, a couple things. And that used to be the case where it's like you couldn't leave and go to a school within your own conference unless you mm-hmm. had a release to do that. And I would suspect that there would be some legal trouble. And just I probably understand these buyouts and non-competes a little better than I care to admit just through experience. And the issue with the non-compete clause is my old company can't keep me from being employed.
Right.
So if a competitor is the one viable place, but let me introduce you to this thought. So there are teams, like I said, Duke picked up a quarterback from, I'm trying to remember where they got him from. I don't, may have been Tulane. Doesn't matter. But let's say Bo Prabula, he decides, you know what he's going to transfer to? SMU. Whoops.
Yeah. Correct.
There, you know, there are players I'm sure who are showing up, and it doesn't even have to be show up this minute. It could be, oh, I'm showing up in January, and that's when, you know, Penn State is getting ready to play, you know, Georgia. Mm-hmm. And that's where the player transfers to. I mean, that could get pretty sticky.
Yeah, that's, I mean, there's a lot of ways that this could get very sticky. I suspect, now I don't know this because you're not going to have this issue right away. I suspect the NCAA is going to work hard to prevent those kids from transferring immediately, but I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you do that. And maybe they don't care because they get sued every fourth step they take.
And they lose.
Correct. They don't have any backing. They don't have any ground to stand on usually. So that's where it's going to get like, maybe they're just like, whatever, you guys do whatever you want. We're not getting involved in this. You've created this mess. which really the NCAA has created the mess because they didn't update their amateur book from 1972. But I digress.
Well, it is. It's going to be difficult, and it's going to have to, talk to your legal team.
Yeah.
Is going to be a big part of this, but it truly is a mess. And I think the unfortunate part to it, Dustin, is I do think the transfer portal is a good thing. It's a good thing for the players in general. So, like, using Marshall as an example, they got a new coach. It's a new system, a new setup. Hey, I think those players should be allowed to go. But the next thing you know, there's 30 of them that do it, and they don't have enough players to play in a bowl game. So there's a lot of those things that are going to – the devil is always in the details, Dustin, and I think we're not going to find the details until we get through the experience, also known as unintended consequences. All right, Dustin, I planned on shifting, but I think you have a little more to add to that. I'll let you do it when we come back. With the postseason now coming into focus, excitement is building for a Nittany Lion appearance in the college football playoffs. Now's the time to start thinking of how to make your travel arrangements should the team advance to the playoffs to be held at four major bowl destinations over the New Year's holiday: LA, Phoenix, New Orleans, and Atlanta. Get in on all the playoff action with an all-inclusive bowl game travel package brought to you by State College-based Collegiate Athletic Travel, a national leader in sports fan travel for over 50 years. CAT's air-inclusive packages feature round-trip charter, air transportation from select Pennsylvania cities, deluxe hotel accommodations, airport and game transfers, pre-game meal and entertainment events, as well as game tickets, all under the supervision of CAT's seasoned event staff. Traveling on your own can still get in on the playoff action by selecting a land-only package that includes all features exclusive of air travel. Visit athletictravel.com in the coming days for complete details.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number three. I am Jim Galante. He is Big Ten Sports Illustrated writer Dustin Schutte. We are going to get eventually to the playoffs. We will get there. And obviously, we're going to talk about some Penn State SMU coming up this Saturday. And I don't know if you knew this, Dustin, but in State College, this is also graduation weekend. which has essentially made things a mess. You want to talk unintended consequences? Hotel rooms have skyrocketed. It's unbelievable. So if you are still looking for a place to stay in Happy Valley for the game this weekend, I've got the solution for you. It's gopsurv.com. They are not raising their prices. They are not gouging you. This is where they have the RV ready for you all weekend. Show up on Friday, stay till Sunday. They have a great setup there. They have the fire pits. They have the pavilion with big screen TV, the food, grills, the whole nine yards. It's a lot of fun. Great place to stay for the weekend. And they are not raising their prices. So if you want to check them out, go to gopsurv.com or call Mark directly, 800-519-8467. Trust me, Mark and his crew will take real good care of you. All right, Dustin, when I left, I was talking, the contracts, the unintended consequences and all of that. And I know that you wanted to respond. And I ran out the clock in the last quarter. Chance for you to respond.
Yeah, you took a knee on me.
it was four corners, actually, is what I did. Went four corners.
The old Bobby Knight trick. So I think the only thing I don't hate the transfer portal. I disagree that it's a good thing. And this is the way I've kind of viewed it in the past. Now, I certainly understand there are certain circumstances. I just liked the old rule where a player had to sit out. And I think it's a preparation for life, because in my first job, Jim, I got hired and 6 months later, the boss left. and she left because she retired. She was done with it, and I had to work for a new boss for another year. Could I have gone somewhere else? Maybe. Or maybe I didn't have another job opportunity. But sometimes that's what happens in life. So this is not like a rules type of thing. It's just kind of a life thing. And so to me, that's why I don't like the transfer portal. I don't have a problem with kids transferring, and I think they should be able to retain all of their eligibility. Just have some sort of consequence for entering the portal so we can stop having 2,000 kids enter the portal. Because I do think a lot of these kids are getting bad advice. And I've seen kids that are going to 4 schools in 4 years. I used to do credit transfers. I don't know how all these credits are transferring into these schools. So it makes me wonder how many kids are in the transfer portal not getting their degree. And certainly not a large percentage of them are moving on to something more important, or not moving on. They're not moving on to professional football or basketball or whatever. They're moving on to something more important in life. And so is that hindering them? I don't know that we have enough evidence for that. So that's my only counter. I think, should a student athlete be able to enter the transfer portal and transfer? Yes. I just think I'm okay with it. You have to sit out a year. You can't play the next season, or, you know, whatever the case may be. And I just feel like it's become too easy, too chaotic. And certainly in certain circumstances, I understand. But by and large, I liked the old system.
Well, here, I'll play a little bit devil's advocate. First of all, 4 corners, Dean Smith, not Bobby Knight.
Well, that's fair.
But you brought up the example, and I often do this too, bringing up, you know, the real world, private industry, and how things are. And you gave the example where your boss left and you were there, stuck there with the new boss for another year. Well, you actually weren't. You were able to leave. Now, the problem a lot of young people do just in the real world is, the boss, he's a pain in the butt. I don't like him. I'm moving on because the grass is greener over there. Then you find out the grass isn't so green. And that, the what you brought up with the transfer portal, is there's a boatload of players who go into the portal and never come out. Right. Because there's just not the job availability that they think there is. That's a harsh life lesson. The sitting out, the penalty for it, I don't think it's necessary. But I do think the only way to accomplish that is through a contract. And, you know, I've gone through different jobs in my life where – they could get rid of me if they wanted to. I could leave if I wanted to. But there's been jobs where I've signed a contract, and that's quite different. There are penalties to be paid where if I have a 5-year contract and after 2 years they want to get rid of me, they've got to pay that penalty. So that's real life. And I think it is a case where somewhat these young people aren't prepared for that real life situation. And I do think you're right. They're not getting great advice, but that's part of the equation. It's to me like, Dustin, these players who at the high school level, they love toying with every fan base. And then I commit to those Ohio State Buckeyes. I really appreciate the love from Columbus. Then when I decide to decommit, it's like, don't get on me for decommitting. That's not fair. Respect my privacy. Well, you know what? You've been an attention whore for the last 3 years. Guess what, guys? This is the price you pay.
Correct. I completely agree. I have very little sympathy for that aspect of it.
So anyway, all right. Is that the final word on transfer portal? We ready to talk some playoffs?
Let's talk football.
Let's do it, Dustin. And you're the Big Ten writer. 4 teams from the Big Ten are in it. That's got to feel good as a Big Ten, a real confirmation, especially with the Southeast Conference, the lowly SEC, only getting 3 teams in.
Yeah, suck on that, SEC, Greg Sankey. How about that? I don't know if that's probably not appropriate. But what I would say is, so I think, and dating back to, I don't know if it was the full span, but there was a certain point of the 4-team playoff, when we were having conversations about a 12-team field, no conference would have benefited more from having a 12-team playoff than the Big Ten. And so I think you kind of saw that. Now, I know there's some outliers there. Oregon coming into the Big Ten made a huge difference, obviously. The fact that Indiana got Kurt Cignetti and he brought his entire James Madison team over, that made a huge difference. But I think you're kind of seeing what they were talking about, where this is a really good league. And now you've got four, I think they're pretty favorite. Well, let's see. How many is that? That's three very favorable matchups. I had to do my math. I was not doing my math correctly.
It was my understanding that be no math.
I like that poll. Yes, so Oregon's got the bye, but I think Indiana going to Notre Dame, look, that's still in-state. I've already talked about the reversible jacket fans that exist in the state of Indiana. So who knows which fan base is going to show up there, but I think that's a favorable matchup for IU. Penn State playing at Beaver Stadium against an SMU team that – do they have a quality win on their resume, Jim? They might have some okay wins, but they don't have a big win. And then Ohio State playing Tennessee, which I think might be the most interesting game. But the fact that Ohio State gets that game in Columbus, I think is a huge advantage. But then again, Michigan had to go to Columbus and came out of there with a win. So who knows?
Well, I wanted to ask you about that Ohio State matchup. I feel like Kirk Herbstreit said he thinks it hurts Ohio State to have to play at home. They'd be better off on the road because that crowd's going to turn on them the first time something goes wrong. I guess my question is just forgetting the crowd. I think the crowd will be supportive. But my concern for an Ohio State team is what is their psyche after losing to Michigan and they've had nothing but getting beat up, the team and Ryan Day, for the last 3 weeks?
Yeah, that's a really good point. I still think you want to play that game at home as opposed to being on
the yes.
Road. Even if you're getting beat up by your fans. And now I'm admitting that I have some ignorance here. I've not watched a lot of Tennessee football this season, but typically under Josh Heupel, they've been pretty pass heavy. And so I think playing that game in Columbus with the weather is beneficial for Ohio State. Now, Ohio State can't really run the football very well.
Yeah. Well, Tennessee's defense, they've turned into a defensive team this year, yeah, which I think makes it a more fascinating game.
Right. But yeah, I think you want that game at home, but you're right. Ryan Day, though, doesn't coach as conservatively, in my opinion. You go back and watch that Oregon game, it wasn't ultra conservative. They scored 32, 31, whatever it turned out to be. They scored 31 points on the road against a really good Oregon team and an Oregon defense that was actually pretty good. So that's, for whatever reason, he just clams up and I'm sorry. He turns into James Franklin versus Ohio State. And he does that against Michigan. He's done it all 4 years. And so I just don't think you're going to see that Ohio State team this weekend. Maybe I'm wrong. But that's been the case against Michigan. And you can make the case it happened against Nebraska earlier this year. But those are the only two times I really remember that happening. So I think Ohio State is going to be – I think from a mentality standpoint, they'll be fine.
Well, I'm not sure. I think they are still on paper perhaps the most talented team in this tournament. And, you know, if they could get their mindset right, if it's like, hey, it's now us against the world, everybody turned on us, we've got something to prove here, or is this going to be a case where they also have a lot of mercenaries coming in? Have they kind of just, you know what? My draft status is set, okay? That's all that really matters. I've only spent 1 year here in Columbus, so, you know, how vested will they be? And I really think it could go either way, Dustin. And if they're vested in this, boy, they might be a real tough out. That's going to be the final word for quarter number three. I'll let you do some talking when we get back for quarter four. With the postseason now coming into focus, excitement is building for a Nittany Lion appearance in the college football playoffs. Now's the time to start thinking of how to make your travel arrangements should the team advance to the playoffs to be held at four major bowl destinations over the New Year's holiday: LA, Phoenix, New Orleans, and Atlanta. Get in on all the playoff action with an all-inclusive bowl game travel package brought to you by State College-based Collegiate Athletic Travel, a national leader in sports fan travel for over 50 years. CAT's air-inclusive packages feature round-trip charter, air transportation from select Pennsylvania cities, deluxe hotel accommodations, airport and game transfers, pre-game meal and entertainment events, as well as game tickets, all under the supervision of CAT's seasoned event staff. Traveling on your own can still get in on the playoff action by selecting a land-only package that includes all features exclusive of air travel. Visit athletictravel.com in the coming days for complete details.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Dustin Schutte, Sports Illustrated Big Ten writer. It's quarter number four of our show. Penn State coming up this weekend, playing SMU at home. The only thing more important than the game itself, Dustin, is tailgating. That's the real number one sport at Penn State. And if you haven't made your tailgating plans yet and you want a great option, let me introduce you to Revel XP. This is where they set up everything for you. They make everything down. The tents, the tables, the chairs, the coolers. Like I said, it's all there and ready, and they can even provide catering for you. And this is what's really cool. Their tents, they've got the television there. You get to watch the pregame show. You get to go inside the stadium, watch the Nittany Lions, come back out, watch some more the late afternoon games. It's a great setup. Just go to Revel XP. That's RevelXP.com, or you could call at 814-933-4100. All right, Dustin, we're talking about Ohio State. They get to play Tennessee. They get to play at home. And the other part of that is, how's Tennessee going to be? There's another Southern school coming up north. How are they going to handle the cold of Columbus?
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, we see this all the time in the NFL where teams from the South. Now, Knoxville's not as far south as, say, like Florida or Florida State or even Georgia, but still having to come up. And like I said, I have not watched a ton of Tennessee. I think in addition to being better defensively, I think they're a better rushing team than people give them credit. But I know that Josh Heupel likes to throw the football around. And so does that hinder their inexperience in that kind of cold climate? Does that hinder them and help Ohio State? And I think it will. I like Ohio State in this matchup, basically for the fact that it's a home game.
And I think I'm with you on that one. It may not be what I'm rooting for, but I actually do think it would be kind of fascinating because that's the Big Ten Southeast Conference matchup. And I am so down on the Southeast Conference right now that it may actually have me rooting for Ohio State. The other part to that, Dustin, is the winner of that game plays Oregon. How about an Ohio State-Oregon rematch?
Yeah, I would love that. That would be fantastic because that first game was so good.
Yes.
Well, okay, so this is what I wanted to say, though, Jim, and I know this is not detailed in the games, and I'll try to keep it brief. What happens if Ohio State loses to Tennessee and would have lost to Michigan and Tennessee at home? I don't think Ryan Day's on the hot seat, but I've got to imagine that there's going to be some rumblings if that happens.
I wonder if at that point, that's the point where Ryan Day says, I've had enough, I'm moving on. Because I don't think they could fire him. I don't think they want to fire him. But boy, it's going to be an ugly. It's not like, okay, now we flush the 24 season. It's 25. You know, we get to camp, spring camp. No, he is going to be uncomfortable until they play Michigan again next year.
Correct. And that's not going to be a fun way to live. So I don't, the only thing, I think if Gene Smith was still the athletic director at Ohio State, I'm saying Ryan Day's coming back in 2025, no matter what, but the fact that they've got Ross Bjork now, and I don't think he would hesitate to pull the trigger. I don't look from a personal standpoint. I think it's dumb. He's won a lot of football games. I know he struggled against Michigan, but be careful what you wish for. Every program has made that, not every, but a lot of programs have made that mistake where they think they can do better and they can't. So I don't think that, but you got to wonder, does the rumbling get so loud and with a new AD, do they go, you know what? You had your chance. I don't know.
I don't know either, that, but it is fascinating. There's that wanting the Big Ten to beat the Southeast Conference, but the other part of me just wants to see chaos in Columbus.
Oh, sure, yeah.
and see how that plays out. The other game, Big Ten, Indiana against Notre Dame, intrastate. That's kind of your home turf out there. What's the feeling like in the state of Indiana with their two teams playing like that? I know you described the story of during the fall, they're football Notre Dame fans, and the winter they become Indiana basketball fans. How are they looking at this game?
Yeah, it seems like a lot of Indiana football fans are switching their loyalties because they actually have a football team worth rooting for. It's been interesting to monitor. So it'll be intriguing to see how that stadium plays out. I wouldn't be surprised if it was 50-50 Notre Dame and Indiana.
Wow.
I could be completely wrong. Well, it's going to be 90-10 Notre Dame. But nonetheless, that's what's going to be interesting to me. But I don't know, Jim. This is the issue with Notre Dame has beaten some good teams. And I think the difference is they've beaten some good teams by a lot of points. Indiana has won games by a lot of points, but the only time they played a really competitive opponent, they got blown out, but they really didn't have much of a chance after the first drive. They got beat by Ohio State on the road, 38-15. Right. So this is really Indiana's only their second test of the season. And again, it's not like Notre Dame they beat Texas A&M. That was a good win in week one. They beat Louisville, solid win. They blew out Navy and Army. Both of those teams had good seasons. I don't know. I think Notre Dame is going to be better at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. And I think that's going to end up being the difference. But I think there's a lot of mystery in this game because it's not like Notre Dame ran through a murderer's row of opponents either.
Well, yeah, that's why I also feel like the Ohio State game, that was Indiana's first time on the big stage.
Yeah.
And, you know, they drove the ball right down the field in their first possession, but the game really turned on the block punt and what was it? A punt return, right?
Punt return. Yep. Punt return for touchdown.
There's two touchdowns right there that Indiana is kicking themselves for. I just wonder after having that game experience, they'll be a little better prepared to face this the second time. And as you pointed out, they're not a Southern school, so cold weather shouldn't affect them.
Right, and I think the interesting aspect is to that point in the season, now I'd have to go back and look at the Michigan game because that might be a little bit different, but the negative about not playing a good opponent is their special teams doesn't get a lot of work. So could that be the same case? Because let me tell you, as someone who was at the Purdue-Indiana game, their special teams didn't get a workout in that game either, Jim. Doesn't happen when you win a game 66-0. So it's going to be really intriguing. I do think Indiana's got some athletes. I think that Notre Dame at the line of scrimmage is better on both sides of the ball, and I think that will be the difference in this game.
And that's where I think a team like Indiana, until they reach the point, it's one thing to get in some of the, you know, the wide receivers, the quarterback.
Yes.
But to start recruiting like an Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, Notre Dame on the line of scrimmage, that's much different. And you see, like, Penn State's experiencing it now with the right tackle out. They were able to essentially plug and play with Nolan Rucci, who came in. So right. you need not only five players, you need some depth. And again, it's a long playoff. It's a long season. We'll see how they're able to hold up there. I did want to get a little bit of your perspective on Penn State SMU, kind of as the outsider, the Big Ten guy, looking at this game. Penn State people, we're aware of the reputation James Franklin has for big game. I feel like this is a game, the last couple of years, he's beaten teams he's supposed to. He better not lose this game.
Yeah. Don't you feel like, and maybe this is an outsider perspective, and I don't mean this to be negative towards Illinois, but this gives me Penn State Illinois vibes in the sense that I think SMU is a very good team. I thought Illinois was a very good team. They finished the season 9-3, had a strong season. I just don't think they're up to Penn State's level. And James Franklin tends to have his teams ready and doesn't hold back in those kind of games. Like, I don't have any. And the way he played against Oregon and the way he played against Minnesota makes me believe that James Franklin isn't going to just hope the clock runs out when you've got a 10-point lead, right? Like, I think we saw that in the Ohio State game. But I think he's more willing to be more aggressive because at this point, what have you got to lose? Like, again, nobody's going to pick Penn State to win the national championship. Like, they'll pick them to beat SMU. I just don't think when you look at the roster from top to bottom that this is a team that can compete with Penn State, especially when it's a home game for the Nittany Lions.
I don't think they should be able to compete either. My concern with James Franklin is especially it'll be cold, it'll be windy. Will he get conservative? You brought up Illinois. Now, Penn State won the game 21-7. It was close at halftime. I think you tied. There was the sense of, gee, they're leaving Illinois in this game. But if you were there, Penn State dominated the game, but they got to get conservative with the lead. And to me, that's my only fear, that James Franklin doesn't just unleash Drew Aller. And again, the game, USC, down a couple touchdowns. They unleashed Drew Aller, and guess what? He marches them down the field. They were down against Oregon. Guess what? Unleash Drew Aller, unleash the offense. Yes, they ran the ball well, but they also opened up the offense.
Well, and I think there's going to have to be a delicate balance too, because this isn't going to be like a September or October game where you say, why didn't you let Drew Aller loose? Why didn't you throw the ball down the field? Why didn't you take your shots? If it's going to be cold weather, it's going to be snow. Like, you do have to like border – you have to border aggressiveness with stupidity. So, and again, I think that when you look at if they were playing Oregon in this situation, then I think you do cut it loose and you just say, we'll live with the consequences. But when you are I think they're a better team than SMU. And I think he probably knows that if you can control the line of scrimmage, I run the football a lot. And then I pick my spots with Drew Aller. There was a point in time, Jim, I think we talked earlier this season, Drew Aller was throwing like 18 passes per game. And
yeah,
they were winning the perfect amount of passing in this game, in my opinion, if you can run the football effectively.
Exactly. All right, Dustin, that is it for the show. Thank you, Dustin. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. With the postseason now coming into focus, excitement is building for a Nittany Lion appearance in the college football playoffs. Now's the time to start thinking of how to make your travel arrangements should the team advance to the playoffs to be held at four major bowl destinations over the New Year's holiday: LA, Phoenix, New Orleans, and Atlanta. Get in on all the playoff action with an all-inclusive bowl game travel package brought to you by State College-based Collegiate Athletic Travel, a national leader in sports fan travel for over 50 years. CAT's air-inclusive packages feature round-trip charter, air transportation from select Pennsylvania cities, deluxe hotel accommodations, airport and game transfers, pre-game meal and entertainment events, as well as game tickets, all under the supervision of CAT's seasoned event staff. Traveling on your own can still get in on the playoff action by selecting a land-only package that includes all features exclusive of air travel. Visit athletictravel.com in the coming days for complete details.